Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I want you to imagine that you suddenly went missing. How long would it take for someone to report it to the police? Would it be hours? That when you didn't show up home or to pick up children at school, someone would know that something was terribly wrong. They might not have thought that you had been kidnapped or murdered, but they might worry about a car crash and call the hospital or police about traffic accidents. Or would it be days? Perhaps you wouldn't have shown up at work for a couple days. While your coworkers thought it was unusual that first day, they figured you were sick, had gone back to sleep, and forgotten to call in. But the second day? That means bigger trouble, because if you were so sick that you couldn't call in for 2 days, then you might need medical help. Or would it be a week? You talk with your family every week, and after you missed your normal Sunday evening call, your parents become frantic after you don't answer. Call after call, text after text, email after email. Or would it be a month? Maybe you work from home, or you're retired, or you're on disability, and perhaps you're known for packing up and visiting friends and family with little notice. No one would be surprised that you impulsively decided to go visit an old college friend out of state. Or would it be months? Maybe half a year? Because the only person close enough to have reported you missing didn't do it. Marcia Rader Brantley disappeared from Tennessee in the spring of 2009, but it took more than 6 months before it was reported. But wait, before you judge, truth is much more convoluted than you might assume. Because Marcia was a woman who was much loved and deeply missed by friends and family, even before she disappeared. Welcome to Targeted, True Crime Podcast. I'm Mo Blackwell, the host of Targeted. It's been a long break, my friend, and I've missed you. The world is a different place than it was when we parted earlier this year at the end of season three. I know we have new listeners today who probably don't need to hear about my last few months, so I will spare you the updates on my life. For those who are new, let me just tell you that I'm a professor at a small college in Southeast Tennessee, and I study many things, including domestic violence. I live near where Marcia Brantley used to live. Although we'd never met, we worked at the same school for a while. I know many of the people she knew, and sometimes I wonder how we didn't become acquainted. Let's return to the question I was asking in the opening. How long would it take before someone would report you missing? For me? I don't know. Since I teach, I have weeks and months when I'm not at work during holidays and summers. I talk to my parents about once a week, but when I'm busy, it can go longer. My children are all adults, and honestly, my two daughters might not notice for a couple weeks. My son, though, he'd know. Even though he lives in another state, I think it would take him about 2 or 3 days before he would talk to other family and somebody would drive out to check on me. I asked on social media how long it would take before someone would notice you're missing. The overwhelming answer was that somebody would know you were missing within a few hours or less. For those who answered this, you have people in your life who would immediately know something is wrong and would act with alacrity. Others thought about a day or two. For you, your schedules allow for a bit of variance, but not too much. It's possible that your absence might not be noted right away, but it wouldn't take long, and as soon as somebody realized you were incommunicado, they'd respond. Others thought it would take a few days, which is similar to me. We might have solitary days or weekends, but we have enough patterns in long-distance communication that would raise concerns. Of those who answered, usually you mentioned a spouse, kids, friends, work, or parents would figure it out quickly and sound the alarm. For Marcia Rader Brantley, it took about 6 months before her disappearance was reported to the authorities. She didn't work outside of the home. Her parents had passed away. She had no children. Her extended family lived far away. Her best friends lived out of state. And she had recently disengaged from her local group of writing friends. No parents, no children, no coworkers, no local family, limited local friends. Who was left to report her missing? Well, her husband. Donnie Brantley could have alerted authorities that his wife was missing and that she had left behind her clothes, her phone, her family heirlooms, her 3 dogs, and her car. But he did not. Even more notably, her family described to me how they saw Donnie isolating Marcia so much over the 9 years they had been married that he didn't allow her time to truly talk to them, even when they were attending family events such as weddings. Let me be clear about Marcia's relationships. Marcia had many friends and a loving family. When we hear that she wasn't reported missing for so long, the natural thought is that she was a lonely person without connections. That is not true, though. So many people I've interviewed cared deeply for Marcia. They've known her for years, decades. As a strong, independent woman, when Marcia seemed to pull away or fade away soon after she married Donnie, they were sad, but also respected Marcia enough not to push. And if you think about it, it's not too uncommon for friendship and family relationships to change after someone gets married. First, the newly mated pair spend inordinate amount of time together, luxuriating in each other's company. Second, often the single friends you used to hang out with are changed out for new couple friends. Third, now that there are 2 families to spend time with, it's only natural that the previous family time gets lopped in half. There's simply a natural flow to this changing of relationships after marriage. While it's sad, it's understandable. In Marcia's life, though, the change was sharper than most. Some friends and family talked themselves through it by thinking if Marcia wanted to cocoon away with her new husband, well, she deserved alone time with him. She had waited till she was in her 40s to get married, and she enjoyed to have as much time to bond with him as she wanted. It is only in hindsight that many, but not all, now interpret this as Donnie's action serving to isolate Marcia rather than Marcia choosing to pull away herself. As we hear Marcia's story, I hope that you can use this knowledge in your own relationships. Because a coercively controlling spouse can separate people who love each other, we should be alert to the signs and the implications. Do we know for a fact that Donnie Brantley was a coercively controlling husband? No. But we can piece together some evidence that might indicate it.
Mm-hmm. Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Today, I'm introducing you to the basic story of Marcia Rader Brantley and her mysterious disappearance in the spring of 2009. In future episodes, we'll be exploring the details, controversies, relationships, and theories, as well as discuss the possibility of a type of domestic violence known as coercive control. Over the past year, I've spoken with members of her family, many of Marcia's friends, co-workers, law enforcement, as well as others who worked on aspects of her case, and the journalist who became a support to the family. One interview even happened in a beauty shop while my interview subject was getting his hair trimmed. I still have more interviews scheduled in the next few weeks. All of these will help to examine each of the areas of her life and disappearance in detail. I consider people's stories to be precious, and they deserve to be told with respect. In fact, I often think of people's stories almost as a diamond. Just as a diamond has been carved by a jeweler to create facets, so do our stories. When we pick up a diamond, we see things from one angle and get a good view of one aspect. But then, if we rotate that diamond, we'll see a different facet and gain a new perspective. After shifting the diamond many times and looking at many areas, we can start to piece together a more complete story. As I mentioned, today is just an overview, a quick glimpse of the diamond that was Marcia's life. But we will soon begin to closely examine those carved edges and bevels that impact her story. '08 and '09 had been difficult years for 50-year-old Marcia Rader Brantley. Married late in life, Marcia's relationship with her husband seemed to weaken as he didn't provide financially for the couple, and like sand from a broken hourglass, he was running through Marcia's inheritance at breakneck speed. As an aspiring author, Marcia practiced her craft through regular writing, whether it be short stories, novels, her daily calendar, or her blog called Magpie's Nest. Along with a few other amateur authors, Marcia founded a writing group in early 2009 called the Thunder Rock Writers, where they planned to help each other through writing critiques, tips, publishing hints, with a dash of being a good old-fashioned quasi-support group. While initially excited about this group, by the time she disappeared a few months later, Marcia no longer participated in it. A private woman interpersonally, Marcia didn't confide many of her hardships to friends or family, but sometimes glimpses of it would burst out of her lips. She'd slip every so often about being sad or depressed, but wouldn't give the details, and the listeners were left to fill in the missing pieces on their own. I spoke with two of her best friends, both women she had been friends with for decades. Although they had maintained close friendships over the years, they all lived in different states, and contact tended to be sporadic. They might not talk for months at a time, but when they did, they would fall right back into their old friendship, and it was like they had never been apart. They both talked a little bit about how private Marcia was. First is Cricket, who was the maid of honor at Marcia's wedding.
They had struggles. She didn't go into details about it, like if the business just wasn't good or if he wasn't managing things well. She didn't get into any specifics with that, just that it could be hard.
I also spoke with Kim, who had been friends with Marcia for over 20 years. She said,
there was a very private side to her that a lot of people didn't know. She was very private, I would say. She had a very sensitive side. She was private. I think the biggest thing is she was a very much a one-on-one person. She didn't have a ton of friends. She had a lot of people she knew and that knew her, but she didn't get close to very many people.
A 2018 newspaper article from the Chattanooga Times Free Press reported that Marcia had hinted about troubles in March 2009 to her writing group, but did not elaborate. One of the Thunder Rock writers, Reggie, told the reporter that they knew something was wrong when Marcia unexpectedly burst out that she was so depressed she couldn't get off the couch. Reggie said, quote,
"I know we all looked at her, 'cause it was just an unusual statement coming from Marcia. It was a complete shock,"
unquote. Reggie told Marcia she'd be here if Marcia wanted to talk, but that Marcia, quote,
"clammed up."
While Marcia wasn't one to speak much about difficulties to other people, you could also glimpse it in tidbits strewn throughout her blog. Writing was one way she worked through emotions, as well as writing seemed to help her to prod herself to process and to move on. In February 2009, 3 months before she disappeared, she marveled at finding a daylily peeking through the ground despite the cold.
February 7th, 2009. We've had overnight temps in the teens and single digits lately, so you can imagine my surprise when I discovered the daylilies poking through the soil. Just one more reason to remember that even in harsh conditions, life presses on.
Life presses on. It isn't difficult to imagine the flowers could be an analogy for her own life. On her birthday, a few weeks later, when she turned 50, Marcia did not mention her husband or how he celebrated her day with her, a sharp contrast to the year before when she had rhapsodized over the gifts he had given to her. Instead, she ends with a sardonic essay saying,
February 28th, 2009. So, today is my 50th birthday. Okay, so I haven't picked up that much wisdom. At least I have some good memories, if I could just remember what they are.
Yet another peek at her troubles can be found in the blog when she was discussing her 9th wedding anniversary soon after that in March 2009. Marcia ends that entry by saying,
9 years later, a lot of water has gone under that bridge, equal parts happy and sad, and I love him more than I ever thought possible. Happy anniversary, baby. I love you.
Equal parts happy and sad. Something wasn't right with the marriage, but Marcia was an independent stoic and she wasn't going to dwell on the negative. Not one to complain, Marcia was someone who moved forward, steadily, one foot in front of the other, and she didn't stop. Marcia had early training for working through life trauma. Her mother had been sick for most of Marcia's childhood with various forms of cancer and the accompanying side effects of treatments. Marcia learned valuable life lessons from her parents as they navigated illness and uncertainty, paired with their intense faith in God. We'll hear more about this part of Marcia's life in another episode when we explore her background in full, but here's a quick clip from one of Marcia's cousins talking about how Marcia's mom, Dorothy, inspired her.
She was an inspiration to me. I had breast cancer when I was 37, and no matter what they told me, I knew if you had enough faith in God and you could persevere, that you could make it, because Aunt Dorothy showed me that. You could get through it time and time again, so I knew I could do it.
As we think back to Marcia's blog,
good with the bad, happy with the sad.
These were temporary conditions for Marcia. Yes, there was more tension in her marriage this year, but it wouldn't last. Yes, they had financial difficulties from husband Donnie's failed handyman business, and they had run through much of Marcia's hefty inheritance, and one friend thought they had filed for bankruptcy, but they would work their way out of it. Yes, Marcia had stopped communicating with her special group of writer friends, the Thunder Rock Writers, even though she was a founding member of the Supportive Collective. Yes, she was out of touch with family and friends because Donnie had given her a new phone and she hadn't had much of a chance to give out the new number yet. But none of this would last. Marcia thought the bad wouldn't last because, like her mother, lived through decades of cancer, like the daylilies in the winter poking up through the frigid ground, life presses on. Except life didn't press on for Marcia. The last anyone spoke with Marcia seems to be the end of May 2009, perhaps the 1st of June. No one has seen her, spoken with her, or been contacted by her since that time. Marcia Rader Brantley disappeared, vanished, poof, gone. Unfortunately, because of a cacophony of mitigating circumstances, no one reported Marcia missing to authorities until 6 months later, in November 2009. We'll explore the reasons for this in another episode. The last words Marcia wrote in her blog were,
"Brantley out."
I've named this mini-series after Marcia's final published words, "Brantley out." Indeed, Marcia Brantley is out, but she is not forgotten.
And I remember Marcia, she was in my wedding. I remember her because she was such a sweet little girl.
I remember Marcia was a very kind and loving person.
I can remember, I had so much fun with Marcia.
I remember Marcia. She was calm, cool, and collected.
I remember Marcia.
I remember her.
I remember Marcia.
I remember Marcia.
I remember laughing. We laughed a lot.
I remember Marcia.
I really remember about Marcia.
I have a lot of memories.
I remember.
When I think about her, I think about all that. She was important and she mattered.
Thanks so much for joining us at Targeted True Crime Podcast. If you're interested in my sources or research, I include a bibliography on my website, www.targetedpodcast.com. If you want to support the show, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and writing a sentence or two about what you like. If you want to connect on social media, I'll include links in the show notes. If you'd like to reach me via email, you can do that at targetedpodcast@gmail.com. Please stay tuned for promos at the end of the podcast and check them out if they sound interesting. As we end, let me emphasize that if you or someone you know is a survivor of domestic violence, you are not alone. There are resources available to you. I've included some contact information in the show notes and on the website about a few organizations. Leaving an abusive relationship can be one of the most dangerous times for a target, so I strongly encourage you to reach out for support. Getting help may be the hardest thing you'll ever do, but it will be worth it. I'm Mo Blackwell, the host of Targeted. Peace, my friends. Peace.
Maine, the northernmost state in America. Usually thought of as a quaint, safe vacation destination. Our motto is, the way life should be. But did you know serial killer John Joseph Joubert was raised in Maine and was convicted of 3 stabbing murders of young boys? Or the unsolved abduction of baby girl Ayla Reynolds, supposedly stolen from her bed near Christmas 2011. Her body has never been found. These are just 2 of the main stories Murderific has covered. We cover crimes from all areas and Maine cases as well. Murderific True Crime Podcast, hosted by me, Bernadette, can be found on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you listen to podcasts, or go to murderific.com. We will be executing podcasts one crime at a time.